As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the spiritual, of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities along with the Pandavas and Yadus will end at once. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Kunti Devi is quite aware that the existence of the Pandavas is due to Sri Krishna only. The Pandavas are undoubtedly well established in name and fame and are guided by the great King Yudhisthira, who is morality personified. And the Yadus are undoubtedly great allies. But without the guidance of Lord Krishna, all of them are non-entities, as much as the senses of the body are useless without the guidance of the consciousness. No one should be proud of his prestige, power and fame without being guided by the favour of the Supreme Lord. The living beings are always dependent, and the ultimate dependable object is the Lord Himself. We may therefore invent, by our advancement of material knowledge, all sorts of counteracting material resources. But without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in a fiasco. However strong and stout the reactionary elements may be. Om Giganti Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Andeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Chana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're right at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is established. The Srimad Bhagavatam is established, and the questions about the future of the living entities in the Kali Yuga are also asked by the sages at Naimisharanya. And then in the second chapter, introduction to Sutta Goswami, and they start to speak about, ask questions of Sutta from the sages about the about this subject matter, and the answers are given in this chapter. Then in the third chapter, it starts to establish who is the Supreme Absolute Truth and why. Then we start to discuss in the fourth, fifth, and sixth about the process of disciplic succession. Vyasadev is meditating, and then he passes the knowledge on to Shukadev Goswami, and then like that to Parikshit Maharaj. And then in the seventh chapter, we start to speak about the story, the storyline, where the son of Dhritarashtra has, killed the five sleeping sons of Draupadi. And there's a nice interaction there about how to discriminate, how to see opposing differences with intelligence by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's quite common, especially in a spiritual movement. This is one of the most difficult things to deal with. So many personalities, so many ideas which have to be... You know, intelligence means that we learn how to see opposing controversies and yet we have to deal with them internally, not be fazed by them, but carry on. Otherwise, what happens? We finish up, we start doing our own thing and we create more difficulty. Being a devotee means intelligence. This was seventh chapter. And then this eighth chapter is a bit where Lord Krishna is, present at the funeral sacrifice. And then he starts to leave. Uttara comes and once again Ashwatthama is actually acting heinously again. He's trying to kill the embryo within Uttara's womb. He sends a Brahmastra. And so Uttara takes shelter of Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna saves Parikshit, who's in the womb of Uttara. And then, so this is where we are now. And at that point, Queen Kunti, who's the mother of the Pandavas, she starts to appreciate how by Lord Krishna's mercy, they're able to tolerate all these difficult situations that they're put in, the Pandavas and herself. And so this is one of the prayers that she offers. This is called the Teachings of Queen Kunti. And very important for a Vaishnav. We take the devotional service and liberation. Is it? We get relief. Wow. Whew, I feel liberated. Then we get that experience. We're like, the problems seem to... Then we just got a process to follow. It's all over. But they say it's only just begun. And so this is that Queen Kunti, and the Pandavas, they were put into so many disturbances. We'll never experience disturbances like that ourselves. Maybe one or two, but not as many as them. And sometimes it's like bewildering. What's going on? I'm surrendering and there's so many difficulties appearing. So Queen Kunti, these prayers are the ones to read. That he's helping us to see, the reality of Lord Krishna's intervention. That, Krishna is Suriram Sarvabhutanam. He's the well-wishing friend of all living entities. Even though at times it may not appear like that. And that by understanding the process of devotional service, as Queen Kunti prays here, by understanding the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how to see in the proper consciousness, then we can overcome all difficulties. The difficulties are a small price to pay for the reward. We may feel that it's too much, some difficulties. But in due course of time, when everything unfolds, we see Lord Krishna's mercy. And this is what Queen Kunti is praying here. She gives the analogy of the spirit soul within the body. Without the body, without the soul, the body is useless. I went to a funeral recently and... About 12 years ago, I went to another funeral, and the second funeral, I expected, it was the same funeral, the people over on the funeral parlour, what they call them. It was the same undertakers. And, in my mind, I'd forget all about the last one. And I was picturing this person I saw last time was the person who walked in front of the hearse. He was from Barnsley. And I always remember they use an unusual accent in Barnsley. "Are you all right, Flower?" They'll say, you know. And I was thinking about it. I thought he'd be the same one there, you know. And he was a different one. And then I looked at the people at the last funeral, and I couldn't recognise them until they started to introduce themselves. After 12 years, they'd changed so much. And this person, I remember, oh, he was like, he must have been in his early 60s. He may not be around now, at least he's retired. And so, you know, we take life for granted. Maya is so powerful. We get caught up in the here and now and the intricacies of the here and now. And, you know, we get diverted sometimes from the actual real process. And it's why Queen Kunti is praying that, let me see all these difficulties, and it jolts, it wakes us up. What is the reality? What is important? And this is Krishna's, one of his main tasks is to wake us up. And ultimately, he has to do that. You know, he's gradually putting us through learning curves throughout our lives so that when we get the final test, it's not such a big obstacle. So anyway, yes, so we're not the body. This is the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. Asochinam vasochastvam pragyavadam chibhasate gatasam agatasam cha nano sochanti panditah. You know, he's talking to Arjuna. You know, you're speaking so much. You're giving so many ideas what you should do and what you shouldn't do. But it's all based on the body. It's just a waste of time. And so the Bhagavad Gita starts. It's based on another subject matter. It's based on the soul. And this is the process of devotional service, real devotional service. What's that verse? Satam prasangam namavirya samvido bhajanti ritkana rasayanakata tadyoshanapap bhavargavartmani shradharatir bhakti anukramishiti. It says gradually by the association of devotees, by hearing in the association of devotees, pure devotees, it says. But what is a pure devotee? Pure devotee means at least they're on the platform of pure devotional service. They're practicing the activities of pure devotional service. Chanting 16 rounds, following principles, associating with devotees like that. Then by that hearing, you know, we actually feel satisfied. At least for the first 10 minutes of the Srimad Bhagavatam class. That's what I usually find, for the first 10 minutes. Then, you know, it's the material energy starts working. But yeah, when we're speaking about the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, actually this is the transcendental platform. And there's one nice verse in the, I think it's in the 11th canto, I can't remember actually. But it's explained that when we hear in the association of devotees, he said that we forget about all animosity and we forget about all envy. Everything disappears, at least for the time being, if we're focused. So this is the power of this process of devotional service, of hearing. So we're talking about in the association of devotees, then all the troublesome things in the heart, abhadrani, they all become destroyed, little by little. One becomes, gets a taste and advances on the path of devotional service. And then real devotional service begins. What's that? What do you mean real devotional service? I've spent, you know, so many years in this movement. What have I been doing? Been wasting my time. No, it's not like that. It means that we gradually, the consciousness is being changed. This devotional service and this devotional service. The devotional service and activity, which we're good at. We're good at getting things done. But, we're good at putting the consciousness into it. So Krishna has to, wake us up sometimes, put us into a situation where we have to really focus internally on what's actually taking place. So one thing I was thinking about is that we're talking about the body and the soul. And sometimes in devotional service, in the early stages, we can see that, we become what they call a little bit fanatical. Is that the word? It's like we're so frightened of the material energy, and we read the philosophy in a certain way that we become dehumanized sometimes. That's not a very good word, but we sometimes become focused on the rules and regulations and on the mission, to the exception of being focused on, we're persons. And I thought, because Queen Kunti is a person, Maharaj Yudhisthira is a person, Queen Kunti is showing so many emotions. She's not just, extolling the philosophy. Maharaj Yudhisthira, he's actually in tears about what's happening in the Battle of Kurukshetra. He should know better. Is that right? He's a Mahabhagavat. He knows he's not the body. He knows all these souls are not the body. He knows it's Krishna's arrangement. But he's lamenting. And so there's a lesson to be learned from it. By devotional service, it doesn't mean to say that we lose the ability to relate to one another. I remember I was reading one book. I think it was Chasing Rhinos with the Swami. Anybody read that? It's, and in the early part of the book, it talks about when Prabhupada gets a letter from India, and when he starts reading this letter, he puts it to one side and he's like, staring in a somber way. And I think it's one of the original devotees who joined him at that time. They were mentioning it. It might have been even Shyamasundar, actually. He said, what is it, Prabhupada? He said, oh, nothing. He said, and then later on he said, it's a letter from Bhishma. She's not very well. And so he wasn't very happy. And then a little few weeks later, he got another letter. And he started to fold it up. And what was it, it was Janaki. Janaki was always pushing Prabhupada, like a naughty child. And Prabhupada said, it's Pishima's left her body, she's died. And then he said, it's not that we don't feel attraction. He said, she used to look after me when I was young. When I was first born, for the first few months, I can remember my first experience is looking up and seeing Pishima. He says, so, we're actually, devotional service is not, taking away our sentiments, but it's centralizing them around Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness means that we have to interact with other devotees, we have to interact with people in this world. And so we have to act, on the relationship platform. And sometimes we may even do things which are not necessarily seen as devotional service externally. And so it's very difficult. So therefore in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's very difficult to understand the mind of a devotee. But one thing we can understand is that a pure devotee, whatever he's doing, is understanding how is this related to Krishna. And how is this actually helping the situation to become Krishna conscious. Anyway, a little bit of that diversion there. Krishna consciousness means changing our understanding of the situation, whatever we're doing. So here we also have the point about, you know, the Pandavas, well, just like the body is useless without the existence of the soul. So Queen Kunti explains. And she's saying that even this qualification, it's of no use unless we actually remember and introduce you into our lives. Without remembering you, then it's all a catastrophe, fiasco. And so we see that there are many important people in this world. What happens? You know, maybe people who I used to see as being important and were on the front page of every paper, they're on the news, they were actually right there in the headlines. 20 years later, you ask somebody, you can't even remember them. So this is what Queen Kunti's praying about. That all this fame and these qualities that the Pandavas have, they're actually temporary without connection with Krishna. If we want to be famous, then we connect ourselves to a devotional service. And then maybe people don't recognize us when we go out of the temple as being famous. But, you know, all through the universe, the devotee is recognized by so many living entities. Not only that, actually, when a devotee goes out into society, automatically he becomes famous. You know, who dresses like a devotee? You know. So this is real fame, being connected with Krishna. And Kunti's praying like that, that she's... Let us not forget that, you know, everything we do, everything we achieve is of no consequence. So that's the same in devotional service. In devotional service, in this ISKCON movement, we have a mission. Is that right? But the mission is made up of what? It's made up of tasks, is it? It's made up of goals. It's made up of, yeah. Made up of marathons. But it's made up of people as well. So this is a mission. That we don't, you know, we focus so much on the mission. Focus, you know, Queen Kunti's on a mission. The Pandavas are on a mission. You know, when Krishna appears in this world, all his entourage come and they're fully engaged in the mission. But still we see that they have actually sentiments. And so all they achieve in their mission, does it really mean anything? And as time goes by, it means so much in the beginning. We want to achieve so much for Krishna. Yeah? It's got to be for Krishna, though. And, it becomes our means for existence. This is what devotional service is. But as time goes on, we realize that actually things are going to happen anyway. Lord Chaitanya said, you know, this, we're going to build a movement which lasts for 10,000 years, but we are going to actually be the ones who do it. We're going to assist in that. And this is good that we are going to, but at the end of the day, you know, we start to realize that we're actually insignificant. You know, this people come, people go. And things carry on. So what's the real important thing? The mission is made up of individuals. And if each individual starts to develop devotional service and the qualities of a devotee, then both himself will develop very nicely and the mission will develop very nicely. The mission developed because Prabhupada was a pure devotee. And in the books by his early disciples, we read time and time again what really attracted them. You know, they couldn't take the eyes off him when he was giving class. Why? Because he was actually mimicking. No, that's the person he was. He got so many good qualities. Just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's full of all good qualities. So his devotee... He should be developing those qualities. This is how we can tell. If the character doesn't change, then you know, what's happening? So many achievements maybe there, but the character has to change. And then people are attracted to that, just like they were attracted to Srila Prabhupada. I remember reading one book, and one devotee was writing, they focused on Prabhupada's mouth or something like that, and they just couldn't take their eyes off Prabhupada's mouth. You know, everything he did was poetry in motion. We get experience like that, don't we? We meet even materially, material people who have a particular opulence. Has anybody had that experience? There's something very, very attractive about them. So what to speak of, you know, a devotee. And it's that charisma which actually makes things work, is it? What do you think? Is it ability or charisma? Is it the mission or is it charisma? We shouldn't use the word charisma. We should use the word purity. Yeah? I notice, I'll not go into what sport I'm talking about, but, I analyse things. And our analysing over the years, I've been interested in this sport. Not recently, of course, it's all behind me. But analysing... the people who are successful, they know how to motivate people because of their character. They've got that ability to make people feel good, about themselves. And even mediocre people become like superstars. So that's the potency of pure devotional service. If we become a pure devotee, we have the ability to motivate so many people. And so what am I saying? I'm going off the track a little bit, but we're talking about empowerment, that Krishna's empowering everybody. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme. And, a devotee, if he can remember that and appreciate that, then he can actually do a lot in his devotional service to help himself and others. otherwise, in Bhagavad Gita, it says, what does it say in Bhagavad Gita? It says, Chetasa Sarva Karmani Maya Sanyasya Matpara Buddha Yogam Upashricha Machita Satatam Bhava. And Krishna's saying that in all activities, Arjuna, Chetasa Sarva Karmani, always remember me. All active and depend on me. In devotional service, be fully conscious of me. This is devotional service. Remembering Krishna. By remembering Krishna, then we please Krishna. Everything's dependent on pleasing Krishna at the end of the day. If an activity doesn't please Krishna, no matter how externally advantageous it may seem, then it won't really... It's not really helping us to advance. It's helping us to understand what we're doing wrong. And if we forget to, the next verse says, if we forget to remember Krishna, then everything we do will become lost. We'll become lost in our own mind and lost in the material energy and misconception. always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. This is a summum bonum of our philosophy. And by always remembering Krishna then and engaging in his service, then we'll always please Krishna. So just a few words on this particular verse. Okay, we can stop there. Does anybody have any comments or any questions?